kind of a prayer or not.
That's good. Yeah, I got it. Before I say anything this morning, Corinne, would you come and share a bit of your story? This morning you'll see Claire's just introduced our topic this morning. We're going to talk about, share this story, and I'll talk about that a bit more in a moment. But we've already had one great story this morning, Sue's story of healing. Hopefully you caught hold of that. The doctors were amazed. It's one of those things where you say, well, actually, there's something going on here that we can't explain scientifically or medically, but God is in the house and God's in the business of doing things. And Corinne's came to us, and you've got a story as well, Corinne, so I just wanted you to share that with everyone this morning.
It might not be quite right.
No, it's fine. No, it's good.
A couple of weeks ago at Wider Leaders meeting, Joe was praying for me that I wouldn't miss opportunities to talk to people and have good conversations. Well, a couple of days later, I met our local postman, who is a very loud and colourful character who knows everything and everyone around. I was delivering the Ravenshead newsletter, and he was delivering, well, post, obviously. And I heard his greeting before I saw him. Morning, darling! Coded it! and that is what usually happens. And then he came bounding across the road to me, and he said, here, I've got something profound. And you'll appreciate this because you're religious, aren't you? And I said, well, I'm not quite sure about that, Colin. And then I explained a little. Oh, dear, I should never have said his name, but never mind. You won't know him. I explained the difference between being religious and actually having Jesus in your life, which fazed him slightly. But then I said, come on, Colin, tell me about this profound thing. And so he said, I was at work today, and I assumed he meant the sorting office, and he said, I said to them all, you know, in this room, if you collected all the people from all the countries with the best brains, and you gave them all the money and all the time, they wouldn't be able to make a flower from nothing, would they? And I said, I said,
that's a good point.
No, Colin. I said, they wouldn't. But he said, no, because it's only the big man upstairs who can do that, isn't it? And I said, yes, but he knows all. It's not just about flowers. He knows us. He knows you and me. He knows all about me and all about you. And unfortunately, that was the point where Colin realised that his unattended posting trolley was yards away across the road and had to retrieve it. And I went on delivering newsletters thinking, oh, you should have said that. And you should have said the other. And you might have been able to say. But I'm sure I'll get the opportunity to have lots of other conversations with our postman. And we were singing this morning, weren't we? How many different variety of ways there are in which people search for God.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter how wide the search or how bizarre the search, as long as they come to the answer that only God can provide. And I just thought that reminded me. And I've also been thinking, it's not only just about us sharing our story, but it's about us listening to theirs. Yeah. We've been learning a lot about how to listen properly to people so that they know we're hearing what they're saying. And I think that's important. So I just pray for all of us that we'll get more and more these amazing opportunities that just don't turn out as we expect. But God knows what he's doing, I'm sure.
Brilliant. Brilliant, Corinne. Let's say thank you to Corinne. So good. And of course, that does fit really well with what I want to talk about, Corinne, today. So thank you for that. It's brilliant. Love it. And if you know Colin the postman, maybe you can bump into him sometime and have a conversation with him as well. And maybe it's an opportunity for us to check the names of all of our postmen and postwomen. Just a great story. Love it, Corinne. So we've been thinking about, we started the year and we talked about what it means as a church that we are blessed to be a blessing. And then, as Corinne says and Claire says, we've been looking at this acrostic the last few weeks. Actually, I think a number of churches have done this thing, bless, and look at what those five things, if we use this acrostic. Benji, could you just put that up for us? So we looked at this thing called bless, and it started, I think, in a church in America. A guy who was leading the church said that he wanted to find a way for his congregation to be outward looking, to think about those people outside of the church. And so he had this acrostic idea. Bless talks about begin with prayer. Corinne just mentioned the listen, which is great. Eat, in the Middle East, in Jesus' time, eating was really important for conversations. It wasn't just a place where you had food. And I think today, hopefully, it's not just a place we have food, but also it's a place where there's good conversations, there's discussion, there's debate, there's opportunity to grow and build friendship. And we talked about that. And I know some people in the room have said, well, they came back and said, oh, we thought of something different. We're going to do something differently now. We've had an idea. And of course, eating is great. Maybe it's not always appropriate or practical for all of us to be having lots of meals with lots of different people in our homes. For some of us, that doesn't work. But what about having a coffee with someone somewhere? Yesterday morning, people gathered in Wetherspoons. If you want to go somewhere to eat and you're on a budget, but the food's still pretty good and it comes pretty quick, then Wetherspoons. We're not sponsored by Wetherspoons, but we seem to go there a lot as church. There's great curry nights, and anyway, Wetherspoons is a place where you can go. And then we talked about serve as well, this whole idea that we could serve people, we could serve our community, maybe there's opportunities with our neighbours who just sometimes things pop up where we could serve them. Of course, we love to serve as church. There's some great examples of that as well. 10 days ago, we had the funeral of Rita Evans, and it was one of those examples of church at its best, just serving. There were people baking and providing food. There were people helping with the service. There were people caring for James, Rita's son. And of course, we continue to pray for him at this time. But it was just a great example of people in this room and some not in this room who were serving people who are not part of church, but we want to serve them. We want to be a blessing to them. And there are opportunities here. I think on your notice sheet, you'll see there's a little advert that talks about cleaning. So if you're here and you think, cleaning, that's the way I love to serve, then there's an opportunity that's arisen. There's a great team of people who serve here, cleaning the Ashwood Centre. And if there's an opportunity that's come up because someone can't do it anymore, so if that's an area where you think, I could do that, then talk to Iris down here. Iris will, and Norman, they can tell you what's involved, what's required. And if you can do that, it's not every week, it's just once on a rota every few weeks, and then that would be fantastic too. So, how can we bless and how can we be a blessing to others? And this morning, I'm going to talk for a few minutes on the last part of that, which is share the story. And my aim, if you like, this morning is, because again, I know that there's lots of this that already happens within church. Lots of people already sharing their story and sharing the big story of God. I know that happens already. And I guess this morning, my ambition, if you like, is to encourage all of us to think a little bit, but also to invite the Holy Spirit to give us prompts and opportunity. Like Corinne said, maybe there are opportunities where we can just share our story or share the story of God with our friends, with our neighbours, with our colleagues, with people at work. What could we do to share the story? And before we go on any further, can I just say, if you're here this morning and you're saying, actually, well, I'm not actually a Christian at the moment, then it's great. You're really welcome. It's great that you're here with us this morning. And maybe it sounds a bit weird to say, well, what can I share my story when my story is different to the story that you're talking about? Well, this morning, can I just encourage you, if that's you here this morning, to listen what we've got to say, listen to what we're talking about. And maybe for you this morning, that actually hearing as we talk about this story of God, the story of Jesus Christ, that maybe this morning there is a response that you could have that says, actually, what could that mean for me personally? So while I'm talking about sharing the story and sharing our story, if that's you this morning, then can I encourage you to listen to what we're talking about, and maybe there is a response for you this morning in terms of the Jesus story. So this share the story is really comes in two parts. There's a part which is share your story. Think about how we can do that as individuals. And then we're also going to talk about sharing the story. The combination of our own personal story, but then with the God story is a potent mix, if you like, that something happens that is deeply spiritual when our story combines with the story of God, our creator, Jesus, the person we've been singing about, the promises that Claire talked about there in our worship. When those things come together, there's an incredible impact, there's an incredible potential. We know it, those of us who are Christians, don't we? But there's an incredible impact that can happen for those people around us, is that we have the opportunity to share the story. When Zoe was talking last week, she was saying, well, let's think about our motivation for this stuff. She was talking about serve, and she said, well, what's our motivation for serving? And I was thinking the same question this morning. What is our motivation for sharing the story? I came up with five things. You can think of some more at lunchtime. But the first reason I think that we want to share the story is because, very simply, we love people. We do it because we love people. We care about people. The more we become like Jesus ourselves, the more we behave like Jesus, and we want to express something of that love and that care and that concern for the people around us. Do we do it all the time? Probably not. Are we sometimes distracted and we're thinking about other things? Probably. Is there a lot of stuff in our lives that goes on? Yes. But our motivation is because we love people and we want to be loving people as well. It's a journey, isn't it? It's not like we've cracked it. We love people perfectly all the time. Our motives are always set, but we're on a journey where we're going, well, actually, I love people, but I want to love people a bit more as well. Second reason, I think, is because the reason we share our story is because it's our purpose. In our life groups in the church, we've been studying together some material, A Transformed Life. We've been doing it over a number of months. Many of us are coming to the end of it now. But in session six, day 39, it talked about... It was an emotional day. Day 39, you remember it well. I've got tears in my eyes. Nothing to do with the emotion of it at all. Just choking a little bit. And it was called Gifted for Service. And this particular day was describing how the Apostle Paul, in Ephesians 3, verse 7-9, describes his purpose. And he says, the words are up there. It says, by God's grace and mighty power, I've been given the privilege of serving him by spreading the good news. And he says, though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. And Paul is speaking, he's describing his purpose. But actually, it's true for all of us as Jesus followers. So he's describing what it was like for him. But what we know is that when we are in Christ, we have that same purpose. We have that same destiny on our lives. So Paul says, I've been given the privilege of serving God by spreading the good news. He says, though I'm the least deserving of people, and we'll talk about this later. He said he gave me the privilege of telling people. Paul had discovered that his purpose was to tell the good news. And the great news for us is that if we are in Christ, that's also our purpose. Sometimes I hear people say, well, I don't know what my purpose is. Well, good news today is if you are in Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus, then this is part of your purpose. So don't worry too much about what your purpose looks like. This is one thing where, for all of us, this is part of our purpose. We can and we will. And I love the fact that Paul says it's a privilege as well. Do you sometimes think it's a privilege for us to be able to share the good news? Sometimes maybe we think, oh, But it's a duty, it's a chore, it's something that I've got to do, it's my obligation. Well, this morning, let me say to you, it's a privilege for us to be able to share the good news. Are you with me? Love it. And then everybody smiled. So when we discover this truth, what we know is that it's not just that we have to, it's because we want to. The third thing, we love people, it's our purpose. The third thing is because this message, this good news, changes people's lives. Wow. I don't know about you, I love good stories, but when you've got a story that changes people's lives, suddenly something changes. I mean, there's great stories, aren't there? When I was a kid, the Mr. Men books, right up until the age of 18, I used to love the Mr. Men books. Oh, and beyond, yes, but then I used to pretend I was reading them to a child. The Mr. Men books, fantastic stories. Great fun. When I was younger, I used to read the Famous Five and Secret Seven. Anyone else in the room used to read Famous Five and Secret Seven? Maybe we should start a club, invite people. We'll share our Enid Blyton stories together. I used to love reading those stories. But those stories are nothing, are they, compared to the story of Jesus Christ? And our story, with that story, changes people's lives. What does Paul say about it? He says that actually what happens when we share this story, Romans 10 verse 13, he says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Might sound like odd language, saved, what are we saved from? Well, we know that we have to be rescued. If you need saving, you need rescuing, don't you? And of course, when people hear this story, the God's story, and respond to it in the right way, the truth is that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's a gift, eternal life, but it's also better living life today here on earth. Opportunities, as we know, for emotional healing, for life change, for people to receive forgiveness and in turn be able to forgive others. Incredible potential unlocked on people's lives. It's powerful, it's effective, deep sense of peace, all kinds of things that get wrapped up in this God story. Because it's not just any old story, of course, it's a supernatural story. Romans 1:16 says, this is Paul speaking, the Apostle Paul, he says, I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. What is it? It's the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. It's not just any old story. It's not just Roger Hargreaves or Enid Blyton. This is a story for everyone who believes. It's power. There's power in this story. God at work, powerful story. When we share the story, we're not just sharing words. We are releasing power. Boom. Explosions everywhere of power. Supernatural. You might know it, but don't forget it. We love people. It's our purpose. It changes lives. The fourth thing is because it's a story that needs to be told. Paul goes on in the next part of Romans 10, and he says this, but how can they, this is people who don't know Christ, how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? A lot of questions, Paul. Don't know what the answers are. Maybe we do know what the answers are. He's kind of making the point, isn't he? He's saying, well, unless something happens, unless we do something about it, how are people going to hear? How are people going to know? And again, this morning, I've got some news for you. If you weren't sure what part of your purpose was, well, hopefully we've cleared that up. But also this morning, if you didn't know that you were sent, then I've got some more news for you. You are sent. I am sent. That's what's happened. We are the people who have been sent. How will anyone go and tell them without being sent? Well, the good news is this morning, we are sent. Is that clear? I think so. We are sent. And the final thing, well, on my 5 points, you can think of others, I'm sure. But the final thing for me is motivation. It motivates me, especially when I think about it, is a sense of urgency. I was with Dom a couple of weeks ago. We were listening to a guy called Jonathan Conrath, who is an evangelist. It's his job. He goes around speaking to people about Jesus. He's amazing. He's incredible. The way that he describes things just makes things come alive. And he told us this brilliant story that really just hit me. He talked about this analogy, and he said what about this as an example? You become aware of your neighbor's house is burning down. And he says, sometimes we might respond like this. He said, would you pick up a couple of pebbles and gently throw them at the window to try and get the attention of your neighbor? And then when they open the window, your neighbor opens the window, and this sounds awfully British, but they say, I'm sorry to be a nuisance, especially at this time of night. It's just my opinion. It's only my opinion, and I'm awfully sorry, but I think your house might be on fire. Would we do that? Do you know what? When he was describing the story, I thought, oh, that sounds a bit like me. Always apologising. Look, oh, I'm really sorry. It's only my opinion. But your house might just be on fire. And Jonathan Conrad said, of course we wouldn't do that. Of course we wouldn't. You'd get the biggest rock if it went through the window. You might, if your neighbour was hard of hearing, then this would maybe, you know, being whacked by a brick would be better than the other consequences of your house being on fire. There is a sense of urgency. One of the things that Jonathan Conrath said was, don't forget that all that we don't know, do we, what the future holds. We don't know what tomorrow looks like. There is a very real reality that, as well as talking about the grace and the love of Jesus Christ, there is also the reality that one day there will be a judgment. And the Bible tells us that not everybody, the people who haven't called on the name of the Lord, that's why that is such good news for us. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There is, of course, consequences to that as well. There is an eternal perspective. And also, if you follow it through, of course, there are some people who won't have called on the name of the Lord. And so there is a sense of urgency. And as we think about our story and we think about the God story, let's not forget that too. So there's five reasons. I think they're pretty good ones. Do you agree? High five someone and say, we all agree with Matt today. So if we agree that we want to and we need to share the story, then how do we do it? Okay, well, and I said to you already that I know there are people in the room this morning who are good at this kind of thing, but I want us to be two things this morning, and I guess I want this every Sunday morning, but I want us to be deeply spiritual, but also I want us to be deeply practical this morning as we think about this share the story. So we've been busy colouring in some sheets of paper for you to have this morning with just some simple notes, but also this morning, I know some of you think, I haven't had my homework for this week. Well, the good news is, people, this morning you get to have an opportunity to have some activities when you get home. Everyone pleased about that? Some of you are saying, I'm not sure what I'm doing this afternoon. Well, I've cleared that up for you as well this morning. I feel like I'm being very helpful this morning. Is that right? So you've got some activities for this afternoon. These sheets are coming round, hopefully. So this is the practical element of what I'm talking about this morning. Want to be really practical. And some of you will have done this kind of thing before, but some of you maybe you haven't. And maybe for some of you, you go, well, I did that a long time ago and I can't even remember what it was on about. Well, this morning we want to be practical as well. So we want to think about sharing our story or sharing your story, and then we'll talk very briefly about sharing the story. So first of all, share our story or share your story. Well, I don't know about you, but people generally love stories. Stories are so powerful, aren't they, when we communicate with them? We like hearing them, we like saying them as well. And some Christians have very dramatic stories of transformational life change. You may have heard of some of these people. For example, we know some stories, don't we, of people who used to lead a life of crime, end up in prison, and then through people telling them the story in prison, have a dramatic life change. It's incredible. Other people as well maybe have different stories, but they're hugely dramatic. And of course, these are really powerful for us because we can see the dramatic change that takes place, and we love sharing and hearing some of those stories. And some of those, so you might know some people like that, or there might even be some people in the room who are like that with very powerful and dramatic stories. We know some of them. But of course, the truth is that every story about a relationship with Jesus is powerful. So the reason that we're talking about sharing your story and sharing our story today is because it's valuable and it can be and it will be a blessing to other people. So on your paper, on this piece of paper, there's a simple format that might help us to think about how we could share our story. And you'll see it's very simple, three parts to it. So think about what before Christ, coming to Christ, and then life now. What does that look like? And if you want an example of this that might be helpful, then we can look what the Apostle Paul does. We've already mentioned him. And in the book of Acts, in the New Testament, there's a couple of times where Paul does exactly this. In chapters 22 and 26, you'll see the shape of what he does. So the Apostle Paul, he talks about before Christ. And some of you will know his story. It's one of those dramatic ones. So Paul was someone who used to persecute. His job was killing Christians. I don't know if that's what it said on his job description. Here's your job description, Paul, killing Christians. Okay, you're going to get on with that? Yeah, okay. So that's what he used to do. That's who he was, pretty dramatic. Maybe for some of us, before we came to Christ, maybe we would say, well, we were an atheist. Maybe we talk about some of the things that were wrong in our lives. Maybe we talk about some of the challenges. Maybe we describe the fact that we never felt we had peace in our lives. Maybe we'd say, well, I was brought up in church, but I just didn't mean anything to me. There was no sense that it connected for me. I didn't believe some of the things that everyone was talking about. So before Christ, just think about that. Exactly what did that look like? And then coming to Christ. So if you know the story, you'll know that Paul describes his experience. So he had this blinding light on the road to Damascus, totally transformed him. Here's the voice of Jesus himself, the audible voice. And it's incredibly dramatic. You know, it's kind of movie worthy, isn't it? This story as Paul's experiences and comes to know the voice of God. And for some people, they have this kind of Damascus road experience. Some people have that. And it happens from time to time. You know, some people say, well, I heard this audible voice. God spoke to me. But for many of us, it's more, rather than a blinding light, it's more a dawning. It's more something that happened over a period of time. And maybe for you, maybe it was that you were in Sunday school. Maybe you were in one of our zones in Ashwood Church for some of our young people. Maybe a friend at work or a neighbor. Maybe somebody invited you to church. We know of stories who people have been in our meetings in Ashwood Church who said that suddenly they were aware of something that they couldn't describe, a sense of God, a sense of the presence of God, something that was different that they couldn't explain. And we could say to them, well, it's an experience, an encounter with God himself. And then they took some steps and they made some decisions and some choices, etc. And for many of us, we can remember a specific time and a specific place where something happened. So this part of your story, our story, is to think when that was, what did it look like? Describe it. And then the third part, very simple, life now. And this is the part, I guess, which gets updated regularly. So if you've got your story and you know what it looks like and you've written some of this down and you've thought it through and you said, this is what life, this is before Christ my life, this is how I came to Christ, but my life now, this is one's the one that's evolving, isn't it? Because life now is current. It's the current situation. Just to bring you up to speed, this is how my life is now. Things that have changed in my life. And of course, we love to share those stories because they're a reminder, they're an encouragement to us of what Jesus is doing in our lives as individuals now. Love it when we have people come back from the Freedom in Christ course. They talk to us, don't they? They say, well, this is what happened. I had these habits that I was stuck in, but then Jesus did this, and now I no longer have those habits. I love it when we have baptism Sunday mornings and people come and share their stories. So encouraging to hear of what has happened in people's lives. But of course, we don't have to wait for Freedom in Christ. Don't have to wait for baptism Sunday. What is Jesus doing in our lives now? If we've got a personal relationship with Jesus, he's always doing stuff. And actually, as we share these stories, you know, the great news is, it's your story. They might not agree with you, they might not believe it, but actually it's your story, it's incredibly powerful. They might say, well, that's not for me, but they can't deny that it is your story for you. And I think actually, like Corinne says this morning, actually it's great for us to have thought about this in advance, because sometimes you're going to get an opportunity. You might even have one this week. You know, sometimes when we stir up things like this, who knows what could happen this week? You might get an opportunity. And if you've thought about it in advance, then you can say, actually, can I just share with you something of my story? And of course, there are some people who are experts at doing this. Like anything, the more you do it, the better you get. I know there's people in this room who will naturally have a conversation with whoever they're talking to. Talk to Ronnie, he likes to go to Tesco. And you'll find him there on the aisles, and he'll be talking to people. But there's other supermarkets as well that are available. I think it's important to prepare. I think very quickly, let's be a few things. Let's make sure that when we do this, that we are these point real and authentic. Benji, I think these are on here, so we can be real. Let's be authentic. Let's be jargon free. It might be totally true that you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. But to someone who doesn't know what you're talking about, that's pretty weird. And it might open up another conversation. And of course, it may be that if you explain something, and I think it's totally possible to explain to people, and sometimes it's really helpful, isn't it? You know, if someone says to me, explain to me some of your story, then often it's helpful to explain why you're using some of the words that we use. But let's be really careful, because in church, if we're not careful, sometimes we get on this jargon stuff, especially if you've been around the block a few times, you speak in jargon, you speak in a different language. Well, that's not always helpful for people. So let's try and do our best to be jargon-free. Let's be ready. I said that before. Let's think in advance. In 1 Peter, Peter says these words, which I think are really helpful. He says, be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks you why you're living the way you are. And the message paraphrase says, and always with the utmost courtesy. So let's be real, let's be jargon-free, let's be ready, I love that phrase, it says, let's be courteous. You know, we're not here to ram things down people's throat, are we? I think courteous is a good way to go. And then, yeah, let's have a think, let's have a practice. So you've got your homework. Of course, you know that in Ashwood, we never put any pressure on people, but if you could have it back to me by Tuesday morning... I'm only joking. So let's have a think about that. And to break up what I'm saying, I'm going to invite Victor, who's going to come and tell us a bit of his story right now. Why don't you welcome Victor? When we were talking about this series on Bless a couple of weeks ago, Victor came to me after one of the meetings. He said, oh, I've got a story. And actually, it combines a couple of things, doesn't it? It combines eating and sharing the story. So
it certainly does,
tell
yes.
us.
So good morning, church. In short, we met some people who aren't Christians last year walking the dog. And we spend quite a lot of time together lately. And especially we have meals. And to time with what we've been talking about today... We sat there just having his meal, being friends, as you do. And he started asking me about Jesus. So it was pretty amazing what did happen. And I got to actually talk about Jesus. And I got to tell these people who aren't Christian, tell them that they're loved. And God has a purpose for them in their lives. And it was coming towards the end of it. I noticed how they were reacting to what I was saying. And it was quite amazing. It was like they'd got all the gifts we'd ever wanted in front of them, and they were told they could have all of them if they wanted them. It was just so great.
Brilliant.
And the feedback from that has been absolutely brilliant. Long may that continue, and may we get to express more about what Jesus is to people who don't know the story.
That's brilliant. And I love the final bit you told me about the dogs.
The dogs, because we met walking the dogs, and our dogs together are always fighting, playing. They never stop and sit. But as I noticed, when I not so much I looked at the people, but I looked at the dogs, and the dogs were also sat quietly looking and listening. It was really quite amazing. So, yeah.
That made me smile. Thank you, Victor. That is brilliant. Thank you. I love that story. And when he explained to me, it was like the last little part where the dogs were all sat listening to him tell his story about Jesus. I don't know what you think about dogs and where they go to heaven, but that's not a topic that I'm looking to handle this morning. But I know that God loves animals and loves creation. So Victor's got some great stories. I'm sure we're going to hear some more of those in the future. So you've got the other thing you've got this morning, and just a quick plug, you've got these bookmark things that talk about share your story. It's also written on the bottom of this piece of paper. But we set up an email address because, as Claire said this morning, we love to hear the stories. And sometimes we haven't always got the mechanism to hear those stories. But we set up an email address. Just put it up on the screen, Benji, yet. So mystory@ashwoodchurch.org.uk. So if during the week you go, oh, I'd just like to let someone else know of something that's happened, a God story, something that you think will encourage other people, maybe it's something that we can share together, celebrate, maybe it's something that goes in Ashwood News, but we want to hear the good stories that are going on. And this morning we've already heard some good stories, haven't we? We don't want to miss out on the opportunity for those. So, share our story, share your story. Everyone happy with that? Okay, so let's think for a moment then about sharing the story. Now, I know some people are incredibly good at sharing the God story. And again, I think this is something that many of us will know the story of God. Or the big story of God. But how easy is it when someone says, can you just explain to me what being a Christian means? How many people relish it, love it, and feel like they nail it every time? Me neither. There's a friend of mine who he says that he has a method which he calls the napkin method. So if he sat talking to someone, he draws something and he explains. This is the one that works because I only need one. Yeah, I'm not very good at this. So he has the napkin method, and I thought this morning, I thought, practically, let's all think about how we would explain and describe the story of God. I thought I'll have a go, and then over lunch, you can do better than me. But let's actually think about what that actually looks like. And this is my friend and the napkin method, okay? So you've got your sheets of paper. And of course, when you're going to share the story, we've already said it's so powerful, it carries supernatural power. So this morning, as we talk about the God story, then I'm expecting that actually it impacts us again. You know, every time you speak out the story, you're also reminded of its power for us in our lives. So there's no good way I can stand where you can all see it. So I'm right-handed, so I'm going to use my right hand, if that's okay. So in the beginning, there was God and there was mankind. And God and mankind were close together. It's the way God designed us to be close. He actually designed us in his image, humanity with God. It was amazing. It was perfect, in fact. Everything was perfect when God created us. But very quickly, there came a separation. And very quickly, as mankind chose to go its own way, there was a separation between us and God. And the Bible describes that separation with a religious word, it's an old-fashioned word. The Bible calls it sin. And in the Bible, in Romans chapter 3, 23, it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that's what sin really means. Sin means falling short. It describes our state, but it also describes the things that we do that don't please God. And if you want to remember that, Romans 3, 23, you can do. And moving on from there, there's another, there's only three verses I'm remembering here. So if you want to learn this, then it's only three. It's not too tricky. Further on in Romans 6, 23, it's two 23s, you see. So it says, it describes what happens with sin. What's the product of sin? It says the wages of sin is death. So it describes that actually, if you think about it, the product or the consequence of sin is death. And that's not just falling down dead in the street, that's not just falling down dead now, but actually it's describing something which has an eternal perspective, it has an eternal outcome. So it's not just death now, but it's death, it's separation, if you like, forever. That eternal perspective, it's not good news. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And of course, maybe we subconsciously are aware of it, or maybe we're not aware of it, but that means that this separation from God is pretty significant. And often we find that people try and build bridges. So we will try and build bridges. We'll try and do things on our own to get us closer towards God. So what do? Well, sometimes we do good stuff. How many people have you heard that say, okay, well, I'm a good person. I've done lots of good things. I give to charity. I help old ladies across the road. I do good stuff. And it's kind of like it feels like it's part of a bridge to bring us closer back to God. But of course, we know that that doesn't work. And on our own, we can't do anything about it. It's pretty bad news. But the good news is that's not the end of the story. And probably the most famous verse in the Bible, if you're driving around, you'll often see it outside churches because it's so good, is John chapter 3, verse 16. And it's a verse which really is all about love. It says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish or die, but will have everlasting life." This is really good news, because actually what we understand is that God sent his son, Jesus, to bridge the gap. So we realize that we can't do it, but God has done something about it. So the bridge starts from this side, if you're over there, sorry, this side, and this bridge is actually in the person of Jesus himself. And it's a very specific shape, this bridge, in the shape of a cross, because God sent his son Jesus. And what happened when he sent his son, because of his love for all of mankind, it meant that it actually dealt with the issue of sin. So Jesus, the perfect human being, took on our sin, the debt that we owed, so that we no longer have to face that sin, because Jesus dealt with it. Also, dealt with the issue of life, because in this verse, John 3:16 gives us the gift. It says God gives us the gift of eternal life. So sin is dealt with, the issue of sin, and also the issue of death, because we receive a gift of everlasting life. At this point, maybe it's worth asking a question. What's the difference between wages and a gift? The answer, of course, is obvious, but wages are something that we earn. They're something that we receive. You get wages, those of you who work, by your own performance, from your own achievements, the stuff that you do. Whereas a gift is very different. And what we need to recognize is that actually this is a gift. the gift of eternal life. And at this point, maybe we ask the question on with your napkin. Maybe you say to whoever we're having this conversation with, well, what do you think about this? Where are you? Where are you on the napkin? Maybe you give them a pen. Where are you? Are you somewhere over here? Is this where you are at the moment, away from God, separated from God? Maybe you're somewhere here along the bridge. So maybe you're here. Maybe you've had some kind of experience. Maybe you once knew God, but you don't any longer. Maybe there is separation between you and God, but you know that there is the possibility of having a relationship with him. And sometimes, maybe there's an opportunity to say, well, would you like to do something about it today, right now? And I think when we looked at this before, a lot of people talk about ABC, make it as easy and simple to remember as possible. We say to people, okay, well, I hear what you're saying. I understand this good news. I need to do something about it myself. What do we do? What can you do? Okay, well, the first thing, A, admit. First step in bringing this, removing the separation and becoming a Christian, a follower of Jesus, to say, admitting that we have done wrong, admitting that we are, this is where we are. This is the side of the chasm that we are. We're in the wrong place, far away from God. We've sinned, and that's part of our current existence. Second part, mentioned it probably quite a few times already, but it's believe. That actually, one of the most important things is that we believe that Jesus, in Jesus' death, in his life, his death, and his resurrection. The Bible talks a lot about faith and believing, and this is a key part of it too. And the final part, confess. Maybe again sounds like a slightly old-fashioned word, but something significant about speaking out, making a declaration. And if I had one more, I normally would think admit, believe, confess, and receive. I know it doesn't fit there, but it rhymes, so it's good. And actually, the receive part recognizes that it's nothing that we can do, but it's all the gift element that God has done for us in Jesus. And that's probably enough. Of course, is that the whole God story? No. Are there lots of other things that we could talk about? And of course, if you're having a conversation with someone and you know that it's opened up because they said, look, I don't have peace in my life. Or they say to you, I recognize that I struggle with bitterness or unforgiveness or hurt or pain in somewhere. Then of course, you can talk about how that fits and that makes sense with this of the God story. So that's your other piece of homework, okay? Just to have a think. And again, you hear my heart in this. I'm just saying, let's be prepared. Let's be ready to have the conversation with people around us. Because sometimes I think we can miss a trick. We're going to pray in one moment because I'm nearly done here. But this is a quick plug that fits so well. On the bottom of your pieces of paper and on the next slide, there is an event that's coming up in April that's put on by, it's a partnership with Ground Level, part of our church network, and the Message Trust. Some of you will know the Message Trust doing incredible work with communities across the country and internationally now as well. And basically, there's a day that they've set aside to help people. It's basically what it says here. It says confidence in the gospel and develop ways to share faith in every situation. And as I was thinking about this morning, I thought, hang on a minute, this day is perfectly fits with what we're talking about, with what we're wanting to do this morning. And I get the sense that if you're thinking, oh, I'd love to be able to share my story a bit better, I'd love to be able to see what that looks like, maybe talking in a group or maybe just talking to individuals, then this day I know will be perfect for you. The Message Trust are amazing at doing this kind of thing. So we'll publicise it again. It's a bit away, but you can book in. Why not go in a group, take some friends? So, as I was praying, preparing, thinking about this morning, I felt that as we close our meeting this morning, there's two things. One is if you, as I'm describing some of this stuff, you say, well, I know that I'm not a Christian. The stuff you're talking about, either I've heard about it before or I've never heard about it before. But this morning you're saying, actually, it makes sense and I want to do something about it. I'd love to be able to pray with you individually this morning. And maybe you've put it off for a long time. Maybe you've thought, oh, one day I'll do that. Well, maybe today is the day that you should do that. And I would love to pray with you this morning. Our prayer team will be here. We would love to pray with you and help you admit, believe, confess, receive, and become part of, make your story combined with God's story. And I think it's the best decision you'll ever make. The other thing I want to do this morning, as I was praying and on Touching Heaven, in our Touching Heaven meeting on Wednesday night, one of the things that God was speaking to us in different things, one of the things particularly we felt that God was talking to us about was the whole area of confidence. And we felt that, I felt particularly, and we felt together as we prayed, that there was a sense that God wanted to make us confident and give us confidence. And I suppose this morning, as I finish, there's two responses. One is the response I've just said. The other is, if this morning you're saying, actually, I would love for God to give me a new level of confidence to share my story and share his story, then I'd love to pray with us as church this morning. You know, there's a combination, and we've been very practical this morning, but it's really the Holy Spirit who helps us as we speak, and it's the Holy Spirit who will help people that we're speaking to will see things for the first time. So maybe this morning, if you're saying, actually, I'd like to receive some more confidence in this area, maybe as I've spoken this morning and even describing some of this stuff, which you may have heard 100 times before, there's a sense that we want to have confidence in the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, so that if anyone asks us, we're ready to give our response. So if you want to pray, we're going to close. I wonder if you would, if that's you this morning, if you're saying, well, I'd like to have a greater confidence, a Holy Spirit confidence, then why don't you stand up with me? I'm standing up right now, and then we'll pray. Because we want this as church. You know, it's our declaration that we want to help people find and follow Jesus. We want to be a blessing to people. Yes, we'll begin with prayer. Yes, we'll listen. From time to time, we'll have opportunities to eat. We'll serve our friends, our neighbors, our communities. But the natural progression is to share our story and share the story. So God, this morning as we close our meeting, my prayer is that you would do something supernatural in our lives. Holy Spirit, the power of God, I pray that you would come and give us a new boldness, a new degree of confidence to share our story and to share the story of God. God, I thank you for the wonderful thing that happens, the miraculous nature, the impact that takes place when our story becomes your story, the story that we'll celebrate forever and ever and ever. And Lord, right across this room this morning, my prayer is that there are opportunities for us to share our story, for us to share the story. In fact, I'm happy to prophesy it, that this week and the weeks to come, we will have opportunities to share our story with our work colleagues, with the people at the school gate. Jargon-free, authentic opportunities to share the story of Jesus Christ. And God, my prayer is that you would make us a church, a people who become good at sharing your story, wherever we are, whatever we're up to, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Give us confidence, we pray. Supernatural confidence. In Jesus' name. Amen.